go on, Zeke. What are we talking about today? There's a bunch of different things you sent over to me.
Well, yeah, but you then said you only wanted to talk about two of them. So we're only going to talk about two of them, and we're not going to get interrupted today.
That's right.
None of those.
However, that was a great interview you did last week. I have to say it was nice to hear about recycled art.
Thank you. However, I do not like getting interrupted. It just makes my head spin, makes my eyes go crossed, and plus I end up doing all sorts of unmentionable stuff in my pants, which just you don't want to hear about.
And that's because your focus was being shifted too much, wasn't it?
Yeah, my head was spinning too.
Aww. Well, you still did a good job, Zeke.
Thank you very much.
It was a two-in-one, which is really rare.
Yes, you were too kind. But so as to get on, because there it's realized I wanted to rave about the anti-sublime, and I was... I started talking about that, and as Monty Python, before we were rudely interrupted. And yes, the anti-sublime, which is... it's a sort of thing where at the Maison de la Culture, I'm used to being sort of like bureaucratic art, and given that there is, I don't know, 75 different layers of bureaucracy in order to get a show there, and everything has to be signed in triplicate and notarized and stamped appropriately and given to the assistant administrator of the so on and so forth, that for the most part, it's not, exciting art. It's the sort of thing that for the most part, if you go to a Maison de la Culture, the concept and theory behind what they're showing is better than what they actually show. However, the anti-sublime throws all of that on its head and is completely and utterly, that makes all of that my ideas about what normally gets shown at the Maison de la Culture out the window, because it is a wonderful, wonderful show on painting of landscapes and so on. We started last week talking, how it was Raphael Sottolicchio who organized the whole show, and it's about like 20, I don't know, about two dozen or so paintings by two dozen or so different painters to get the niceties out of the way. René Duval has an amazing painting. Melissa Doherty is the one whose painting made my head explode. David Galanders, who has been in here and so on, he has one of his paintings, and the whole idea behind the Melissa Doherty and David Galanders, which are next to each other, is that you basically are going blind because they're all out of focus, and it's that whole concept of out of focus paintings that I absolutely adore. Then you have Dil Hildebrand, who I don't think I'd ever seen one of his paintings live before, and they are very, very nicely done. I had heard all sorts of hype, and I expected him to not be able to live up to the hype, but the painting that is there, and hold on a second, maybe I can even make it sound like I know what the heck I'm talking about. It's number 13
here. Well, you already do sound like you do, Zeke.
I'm never so certain. Anyhow, it's called Elm, and... yeah, it's really, really cool. And so he does actually, in the one painting that I've seen of his, live up to the hype. Then there's Harlan Johnson, who's a friend of mine, who's a fan of the LSU Tigers, which is something that I always get a big kick out of, Louisiana State University.
Okay.
It's okay. You learn something new every day. Mm-hmm. A little bit of insight into the way that people think. And you never would think that there's somebody up here in Montreal who is a fan of the LSU Tigers. But anyhow, he's got a wonderful painting there. And then Guy Laramé, who's a guy that I really, really like as well. Because what he does is, or the stuff that I've seen of his is the sandblasted books, where he basically will take old encyclopedias and stuff that he buys at thrift stores and thrift sales and garage sales and so on, like encyclopedias. And then he sandblasts them so that they end up looking like the Grand Canyon and stuff like that. And I never knew he painted. And he actually paints, and he paints quite well. And I was very, very impressed. And then, obviously, Raphael Sottolicchio has a very nice, very tiny painting in there as well. There is one thing I know a bunch of the painters who are exhibiting and so on and so forth. So if you think that I am biased, you're probably right.
You don't sound that biased, though. I have to say, because of the way that you're describing it.
Am I saying that everything is great and wonderful? I would say yes, I do sound very, very biased.
The way it sounds to me, it sounds as though it's respecting what their purpose is, right? Which is to, of course, be abstract or be challenging you to be interactive with the paintings.
No, as I said last week, it's the sort of thing, there's this six or eight page pamphlet catalog worth the whole $2 that they charge you at the Maison de la Culture just because it's got pictures, and pictures are really, really cool.
But you don't have to get the catalog.
No, it's got pictures. You want the pictures. The pictures are cool. But no, the text there, I'm not respecting it at all, because he goes, Raphael Sottolicchio. You know that? Notice how I like saying Sottolicchio.
You do like saying his name.
It's a very melodious, meflu. nice name to say. He goes on for, I don't know, paragraphs and paragraphs about theory, about sublime, how the term sublime has changed over the ages, over the millennia, over the decades, and so on, which to me is total and utter claptrap and nonsense. It's fine and dandy if he wanted to think about that and use that as an idea so as to put the show together, but it's really, really dense, and it's the sort of thing where I'd much rather spend time looking at the paintings rather than reading the text. And so, yes, go buy the $2 catalog because it's got pictures. Pictures are cool. Anyhow, enough of that. Now I feel that I have completed my thing about... Oh, you have one question?
I have a question about sublime, though, because is that actually an art term?
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, it's sort of like below the lemon.
Below the lemon.
Sublime is below the lemon. It's like below the lemon.
Which means for the... That's it. Listener, that's a, right that, now, that might not be totally.
That's a joke. You know how there's lemon and there's limes.
Yes.
Sub end of.
Yes, but in art terms, going back to that, it's. I never knew it was an actual term.
I'll let you read the catalog.
Okay, fine. All right. So you're moving on to the second.
Yeah. Hold on. Before I say that, it goes on until the 3rd of October. So you have until this week to go catch it. It's at the Maison de la Culture Plateau Montréal, which is at 4465 Avenue du Montréal Est, which is right in front of the Mount Royal Metro. Basically, go take the metro, walk straight into the Maison de la Culture, keep walking straight until you hit the gallery, which is in the back, and then go pick your jaw up off the floor after looking at the paintings, because they are kick-ass.
It's called anti-sublime.
Yes, anti-sublime, not sublime.
It
would be actually arch. Then... sort of like almost like above the lemon as opposed to below the lemon.
I just think I need to get a new dictionary of vocabulary for art terms. That's all I'm trying to indicate.
Here, have the catalog. You can read the dense text.
It's not just about sublime. It just seems as though there's all these words coming out of nowhere that are all part of the new art dictionary terms.
No, that sublime is an old dictionary term. It's going back millennia, eons.
But to when?
I don't know, like 465 or something like that.
Okay, fine. It doesn't mean what he means. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway, yes, do go on.
And yes, then we have also this thing called Force Majeure by Paul Litherland, who also is a good friend of mine. So it would be understanding that if you think that I am biased on this, I am.
Please admit it.
He's got it. Well, yeah, you'd be amazed at how many people don't admit sort of, what is it, the conflict of interest in their biases when they're reviewing things.
I admit there's bias all the time.
You know, there is the one show where the curator actually reviewed it in a national magazine, and I'm saying, hello, that's ridiculous. But I digress. Anyhow, Force Majeure, which is by Paul Litherland, is at Gallery Clark, which is at 5455 De Gaspé. Number 114, although it's way easier to get from the outside than the inside, and so you don't even worry about the 114. It's just the big yellow sign that's on De Gaspé. It's going on till October 9th, and so you have a whole 2 weeks to go see that. And there, it's again, it's the sort of thing where I understand, and actually, in this case, I understand the text because it's in English. That one just, it was way too dense, and so after two paragraphs, I just decided I wasn't even going to bother with it. But with both of them, it is the sort of thing where I sort of realize, okay, fine, the text is there, but it really has not much to do with my experience of the art. And basically, Paul Litherland, what he's got is he's got five TV screens suspended on the ceiling, sort of like the acoustic panels we have here. And then he has these lounge chairs that you get sort of like on the beach, and he's got them underneath so that you're lying on your back, lounging around, and you're watching these video screens. And on the video screens, there are pictures of the sky. And then suddenly people pop up into the sky. You say, whoa, what the hell's happening here? And at first you think they're sort of like parachuting, because that's one of the things that I find absolutely amazing, and jaw-droppingly, makes me lose all sorts of semblance of all vocabulary and just makes my head go blah. But Paul Litherland does all sorts of dangerous sport, extreme sports, base jumping, parachuting, parasailing, and all sorts of things. And given that in real life he's a rather just genteel sort of standard issue, what I would call Canadian person. He says please and thank you all the time. He's very, very shy and retiring and very, very diplomatic, very, very polite. The idea that he jumps off of buildings is a disconnect. And so that was my first thought with these things, is that they are parachuting out of the sky, but then you realize you look at the videos and there are no parachutes attached.
Are they clear skies?
No, they're clouds around.
Is it raining? Is it snowing?
It's a beautiful
Is it a real sky?
Yes, it's a real sky. It's a real sky. It's a beautiful sunny day with a little bit of cloud, sort of like to my mind a perfect summer day. Sort of what I think of I'm not going to remember who it was who did the song. Never mind. Anyhow,
did he erase the parachute then? I have many questions for you.
It's what I think it is that there are these things which you can get which are really super heavy duty, really really powerful fans. And then you sort of jump into the exhaust of the fan and you get blown up. And it's sort of like just being suspended in the middle of air, and it's really, and you got to then guide yourself so as to keep in there. And he has something about how they're trying to do sort of regular everyday sort of gestures in the text here. But given that they sort of like come across the screen and then slide off the screen, and sometimes they are on the side of the screen, I didn't pick up on any of the regular gestures and stuff like that. I just saw that they were sort of hanging out in the middle of this sort of fan exhaust, which looks like it's actually a lot of fun, although it makes your face glow like this and sort of
the ripples in your face.
It's if you are very very skinny or have recently had some sort of plastic surgery, then you won't have any of that effect happen at all. But it is, for the most part, there are certain people who have a little bit of excess skin on their face, and so they end up going like this. But yeah, it's sort of fun. There's a soundtrack in there that I actually found rather annoying. It's the next time that I go back and see it, I'm going to go in with earplugs and so on, because it's got some like noises that don't correspond to the videos. And they're because I'm not quite certain exactly who's going to show up when, and you're trying to say, okay, is it going to be on that screen, on that screen, on the other screen, or anything like that? And then the sound goes, brrr, and you sort of say, oh, something's happening. But then you realize, no, nothing's happening. And trying to, you either got to turn down the volume of the sound so that it doesn't make you think that you are queuing up some visual type of thing, or you go in with earplugs and you can ignore the sound.
I think that sound artist had some fun.
It's actually Jackie Gallant and Paul Litherland. There, it's Paul also, besides jumping off of buildings, also plays a mean set of drums.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And yeah, he's just a jack of all trades.
This sounds really, I'm curious now.
Uh-huh. It is.
Check it out.
It's the sort of thing where if you, you got to spend, it's the sort of installation, because it is an installation, given you got the TVs on the ceiling and so on, and you got the Barca lounge, or not the Barca lounge, just the beach lounging chairs and stuff like that. It is the sort of thing where, for the most part, you can walk in, and if you don't get a walk out in 30 seconds, if you actually hang out for, 5-10 minutes or something like that, it does sort of, there are interesting, cool things that, man, it's too early in the morning. I'm tired. My brain is just not working. But yeah, it does, when you get a gift.
When you receive a gift?
When you receive a gift, there's some sort of term out there when it does, not respect, but whatever. You do get some stuff back, and so it is well worth your while to spend a little bit of time in this dark room in the back of Gallery Clark, looking up at the ceiling and watching this.
It's a reward, isn't it?
Reward, yes, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you very, very much. It rewards your patience and presence with stuff.
Mm. So where is it again?
That's at Gallery Clark. It's up until October 9th. Gallery Clark is at 5455 Degas Bay, studio number 114. But it's way easier if you actually go from the outside, and there you just go along, St. Theater until you hit Degas Bay. Then you hang a right and you look for the big yellow sign, or you go along Fairmont until you hit Degas Bay, and then you hang a left and you go look for the big yellow sign. And there you then, as with the Anti-Sublime, you just go all the way to the back and look for the cool room that's got the TV screens on the ceiling.
Well, thank you, Zeke.
No problem. Thank you very much. And we made it through without any interruptions. Very happy.
And I learned something. I hope our listeners are going to jot these notes down. The archives.
If people are learning stuff, then I'm going to have to go out and do something. I'm going to have to start speaking in tongues. This is not a good thing.
No, learning is good. I support learning. I'm biased towards this. I will say it.
You can, but I don't want to be a pedagogue. How's that for a big word?
A pedagogue?
Yeah.
Who says that? It's back to the vocabulary again. Early in the morning.
Obviously, I'm waking up now.
All right.
Go back and look at the pretty pictures in the catalog.
Yes. I'm going to go straight. And the literature, of course, because there's text in there.
No, ignore the text.
There's text in here.
Ignore the text.
Very well done.
Thank you very much.